Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile. When he says to me, "How's my child?" I say that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. And I'll call this man father.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Fam and Greg and Bo on the other side of the glass into the 9 o'clock hours. And that's Color Him Father by the Winstons, man. I love that song for Father's Day.
I know. That played so long, you got to give out some concert tickets afterwards.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that to talk about the different things this man was doing.
I completely understand.
That's the thing. And we definitely send that out to all the dads.
We did that last year, too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I know how much you love this song. Yeah, take you back.
Yeah, it does.
Plus a toe tapping.
Just a little bit of that.
Finger popping.
A little bit of that.
Finger popping.
And
toe
I hope it does that for our listeners, wherever they are around the area. You know, this morning, you're reflecting on dad and some of the things of you being that dad, the things that you get to do now and pass it on. You know, as a listener, Andre shared with us last hour the things he got from his father. Now that he's in his 30s, he's passing those things.
You told a great story a minute ago about your parents coming and getting you up in Ohio because Pops wanted to play catch with you. That was fabulous.
He ain't nobody to play ball with.
That was a fabulous story.
You know,
I've done three cool things in life. Two of them I fell into. I mean, I didn't orchestrate it,
yeah.
So I'm not giving myself credit. The last one I kind of orchestrated, and it worked out, and it has to do with my father. I'm going to share that later on this hour.
Okay.
So that's what I was wanted to talk about.
You talked with him yesterday?
I tried calling that dude.
Yeah?
He's still, and listen, if there's a person who should be sitting in an easy chair, it's him.
Yeah.
But he's out trying to fix this hole that he got in. Florida got all that rain,
yeah.
And he got a little hole in his roof. And he's called somebody, and they're coming out. But he keeps going out there like he's Bob Vila. Like he's going to do something to it. But you know what I found when I call him? And I used to laugh at this, but now I'm glad that he does this. He has this phrase he uses. I'm up shuffling papers. Meaning he's doing stuff.
Yeah.
He's keeping busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he's finding things to do.
Right.
Unfortunately, he's buried both his wives, my mother, and he got married again and lost his second wife about 7 years ago, 7, 8 years ago. But he's, you know, he's got friends down there and he's keeping busy and he's got a bike. You know, he pretends he rides about a block every once in a while, but I think he pulls it out, walks it down the driveway, and then puts it back in the garage. But he's, you know.
That's great, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. I can't carry his you-know-what.
Wow, man.
And, you know, we've talked about his time in the service and when that was. And that in and of itself, I think, is a story, not just because of him, but those that are left from World War II.
Right.
And what they went through in the path. And not just that, but just the things that they had to deal with in life.
Mm-hmm.
That was America during those decades.
Yeah.
So, anyway, happy Father's Day to all y'all out there. We still got the lines open if you want to join us. 404-741-0929. Got about a half hour left on our survey. Bo's going to give us a total. In fact, if you got one now and you want to, we can go to Bo and find out. It's at 92.9 The Game on Twitter. And just basically any remembrances or thoughts you have about being with your father, sports related.
Yeah.
Watching. Participating, however your connection is. And so, Bo, you want to give us an update?
So, pinned to the 929 The Game, that's at 929 The Game, our homepage over on the Twitter. What's your favorite activity to do with dad? We gone fishing for, meaning golf, watching sports or playing sports. 333 votes so far. Watching sports, still running away with it, 62%.
Okay.
Fishing and golf. An even split at 15% apiece. And playing sports, not too many people playing sports with dad. I guess golf could be included into that umbrella as well. We have some pretty good comments, including this one from Emmy, at Emmy Burley. I would say playing golf, but he always gets mad when I beat him. Boom. Go get you some. That's right. Yeah. Normally it's the other way around with, you know, dads being the one who have maybe taught the younger person the game.
Whatever it was, do you remember the first time you beat your father at something?
Tennis.
How old were you?
Oh, gosh, I don't know because he beat me for a while.
I mean, that's a monumental moment in
a kid's
life.
Yeah, it is.
I don't care if it's a sport, even playing cards.
Once I got good enough to beat him, he kind of stopped playing.
So much for trips to Ohio.
Yeah. This is what I get for going and bringing you back. No, that's...
All right, man. Yeah, mine was golf.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how old I was, but I was probably late teens.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We used to go to a place called Columbus Park, which is right off of Austin, coming out the Eisenhower Expressway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a city course. And it was only 9 holes. We played there all the time. Bo, you got one?
Yeah, actually, I do. I'm glad you brought that up because it came right to mind. And for me, it was Scrabble.
Yep.
Yeah, board, yeah, okay.
And it was probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, because my oldest daughter at the time was not old enough really to play. But now, every time I go back to Louisiana or they come here, we always play Scrabble at least one night,
mm-hmm.
multiple games. And it's usually me or my mom taking it all every time. We kind of battle back and forth.
Yeah.
But, yeah, first time we ever played, I waxed everybody in the entire family.
Board games.
Yeah, any kind of competition.
Yeah, but just the kids today play board games. It's got to be on this.
This is one of those things like chess.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, that's one of those things. So the first time you beat a parent at chess.
Yeah.
That actually was kind of worse because it's like they're smarter than you. The kids beat me at chess now. Maybe, you know, I can't figure this stuff out. But yeah, if you've beaten your parent, the first time you beat your parent, father.
Yeah.
At something, if you want to give us a shout on that, 404-741-0929. I know you're running around today, but if you had the time, would you watch, given what we've seen over the last 3 days, any of the U.S. Open today?
I'm just going to watch, really. I mean, I'll probably watch toward the end to see who wins it, and then to hear some of the parting shots from the guys on their way out the gate. That's probably what I would listen to hear because of the way this course has been and the fact that it's supposed to be a challenge.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a different kind of test than you normally get. But I don't think it's supposed to be to the degree of what we're seeing. What we're seeing is the world's greatest golfers out there playing. And, you know, you got that started the day with a 4-shot lead yesterday in Dustin Johnson. He shoots a 77.
Yeah, 7-0 par.
A 77.
I can relate to that.
And not just that, he still got a share of the lead.
Yeah.
Nobody under par. Your leaders are at 3 over. And I just think it's terrible, you know. But in a way.
That's great TV watching,
man. You watch it for another reason.
I am. I changed my tune on this, you know. I would have done exactly what Phil Mickelson did. I understand why he did it.
And for those of you who missed it, Phil Mickelson's just got his frustration just really got the best of him yesterday. And you know, if you barely touch the ball on these greens, there's no fur left on them at all. And it rolled so far. It was rolling so far past the hole and starting to roll. And so he gets into a little jog.
Yeah.
He breaks into
that
a little trot.
That was a sprint for Phil.
He broke into a trot, man.
And whacked it there, back.
And hit it back before
and
it
knew
stopped
he
rolling.
Was going to get a 2-stroke penalty. And he almost put it in.
I guess he just – you get to a point where you just don't care.
You know.
But he wanted to move on to the next hole. And, I mean, that's like any of us playing on a foursome – you know, on a Monday morning at a public course around town. Yeah, who's looking?
That's why I'm. That's why I will enjoy watching
this. You got cameras and microphones all around the place. You're on this big internationally broadcast event.
Phil's going to get on a really nice private jet this afternoon and go somewhere and live well. So that's his revenge. He's out of it. He was out of contention. He got sick of running back and forth. His frustration was played out on cameras where a lot of these guys can't afford to do what he did.
Yeah.
He can do that. And again, let's, you know, the 400-pound gorilla in the room is, it was his birthday too. 48th birthday.
USGA, did they get this right or get it wrong?
Got it real wrong. They messed it up. As you said, it's like playing in a Walmart parking lot. Yes, it's supposed to be challenging.
Yes.
But it's not supposed to be like 285.
Yep. And it's like putting on 285. And the thing I mentioned earlier, if you weren't with us earlier in the show, I say what about, you talked, Greg, we talked about golf and its decline, and one of the things we talked about was participation or, right. or the lack thereof. And what does this do to make a young person want to go out and play, or somebody who hadn't played it before go out and try to play it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. But that's part as the governing body of golf. Yes, to me, I equate it to USTA with tennis, and they do a lot of things. You know, they design competitions to go on, and they officiate those competitions. They organize those competitions at different levels, you know. But the bottom line is they come up with the rules is to try to encourage participation in the sport. How do you encourage participation in the sport? By putting on something like this.
Yeah.
That's
of course, reminds me of what you tell me about Macon in high school sports. They just can't get right.
What?
They can't. They had problems in 04, and I didn't have them again. They can't get it right. Chris is in Covington. Chris, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning.
Morning, guys. Got a little twist on the father-son sports thing.
Yes.
My son, who he has special needs, he has cerebral palsy.
Okay.
So him and I can't go out in the yard and throw the ball or whatever, but he is an avid sports fan. Checks the scores every morning when he wakes up on his phone. So him and I share that bond in a little different way. And I'm not just talking one sport, baseball, football, soccer, Canadian Football League, World Cup, everything. So that's where our bond is right there is, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Appreciate it.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah. Again, wonderful. Let's not exclude those people who, yeah, they have challenges in their life and they still find. You know, it's unfortunate that we don't even think about that. That's wrong on our part.
It is.
Because we should acknowledge these people. We talked about stepfathers as if we're stepping out of the box. But families who have those challenges.
Yeah.
And these days when, you know, but we take for granted going out and throwing the ball around and all that stuff.
But you look a way to still make sports a part. He's saying
absolutely.
That sports is still a major part of that father-son connection.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of it. Thanks so much, Chris, for sharing that. You're not the only father, I'm sure, who's had to deal with some type of barrier. And still, sports has made it comfortable for you guys to have that kind of bond.
And I will mention somebody who we both know who's dealing with that. Ernie Johnson Jr.
Yes. And, oh, man.
Exactly.
I can't say enough about that guy.
There you go. Special guest, hopefully, will be on the show next. Stick around. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg on this Father's Day morning where we're taking your calls and remembrances of your dad or you as a father, things like that. Also, our survey continues.
Yes.
Not much longer.
Not much longer.
Go to at 92.9 The Game on Twitter and let us know any kind of connection sports related with your father, what you did, things you shared with him. Also, we have a list of activities on there, but if one that's not there.
Could be a different activity.
Like we talked about, maybe it was a board game.
Right.
That you beat him at
the
first time, or he beat you on a regular basis.
I posted a picture on the other one of my social medias today of my dad lining up to take a pool shot. And it's a tricky shot. He's doing it around a pole, but I mean, the bottom line of the story is we were playing the game, and he played the game with me before he had to go to work. And so that was the
is
thing.
He hanging out with you before he went. That's what we're talking
about.
Well,
he was doing that
special.
Before he go to work. Well, he beat me.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
You know.
Still reminds you who was paying the bills in the house.
He's like, you're going to do that. All right. There you go. I got to go. So yeah, that was an experience. So I shared that with people this morning.
Hey, where were you in 1960 on this date?
Ooh.
I'm just kidding you.
Okay.
Ted Williams hit his 500th home run.
I was around, but I haven't been around around long.
Ted Williams, on this date, June 17th, 1960, hit his 500th home run. Jack Nicklaus won the U.S. Open on this date back in 62. But the date that we are all, and we started the show talking about this, where were you 24 years ago on this date? Might have been watching the NBA Finals, watching Akeem play Patrick in the finals. And all of a sudden, they split the screen on NBC.
Yeah.
And showed you a white Bronco going down. I think it was the 405 out there in L.A.? One of those big interstates.
Yeah, 405. But the thing of it is, it was the last. That was the last network to go to it. The other networks had already gone.
Right.
Because he was employed at the time by NBC.
That's true.
They were like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we got the basketball going away? But then they finally put our friend Bob out there, and they went through.
Question for you.
Yep.
This is hindsight, and it's just speculation. Do they do that if the Bulls are in with Michael Jordan on TV, you think?
Probably so. I mean, because everybody else had it. everybody else had it, and I think that they would have.
The crazy thing about this is, though, when you think about it, a lot of places that have sports don't do that because they know you can go to all these other networks and see whatever the big news story is.
Yeah.
So they use their network, you know, broadcasting a sporting event as a release, as a refuge. You know, let's go there and just hang out for a while. I'm watching this way too long. You know, anytime they bring on the network news anchors and there's an event, a death of a political figure, right, or somebody else, or you know, some sort of weather event, and they're on there for six hours, it seems like, talking about it. If there's a sporting event, I'm going there.
Yeah, but this was a combination of so many things, though. That, you know, you had a sports figure, it was Hollywood, it was something of, you know, a murder, and then this a helicopter chase. Everything you're watching is like from high above the city. Yeah,
slow chase,
but just high above this city. And I think that's the thing that captivated everybody. And now that's become standard part of, like, local TV news now. You get something in the helicopter, pops a helicopter. We talked yesterday about whether or not you can get drones to do that instead of choppers.
Yeah.
You may not be able to go as far, but that was something that's become just a standard thing now for covering local news.
His name came up the other day in a conversation. I can't remember what it is. I'll think about this for a second and get back to it.
He's been pretty low profile since he's been released, you know, from his incarceration. He said everything but his name. We are, of course, talking about O.J. Simpson. I think we mentioned everything but his name. We mentioned him, Broncos, and everything else. But he's been pretty low profile.
There was somebody, who am I thinking of, that's in the sports world that went sideways and were trying to, or having a conversation with it and trying to separate the athlete from the crime. And I can't remember who we were talking about, but that was done for a while. Oh, I know what it was. Coming up on Father's Day, we were in the bullpen talking about Father's Day.
Okay.
And how up until this year, anytime you mentioned the conversation swirling around who was America's top TV dad, you know where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know who was at number one?
Yeah.
But that person is no longer at number one in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah.
But then you have the second part of that conversation is, wait a minute, can you not separate what he did professionally from the crime? Because O.J. was the first person who fell into that category. You had people who wanted to keep him. Listen, any kind of list having to do with all-time great NFL running backs, he was still on the list.
Yeah. And to me, he still is.
But then you had this other repugnant side.
Yeah. Number 32 is.
But then there's people who can't separate the two.
Yeah. Number 32 is just amazing. And it's to watch some of the clips of him now is still amazing. And I can say I got to see him play in person once. Yes. The dude in the Bronco is a loss.
Right. But listen, be honest with me, Sam. It wasn't easy for you to say that back in the mid-90s, while this was still sort of white hot.
I don't know if it was. I think I still...
You did? You had no problem with it?
I still can separate the guy from this guy, tremendous things, what he did on the field, and what he meant.
Absolutely, yeah. There's the other thing about it. He was a spokesperson and all that.
He
was the first black spokesperson. He was Michael long before Michael.
Foster Grants.
Hurts.
What else would he say?
It was some kind of orange juice, too.
Well, obviously.
And then he had a network job.
Yeah.
High-profile networks. And he was on Monday Night Football for a minute.
Yeah.
And while I'm in the same category.
I go even deeper with that, and my reason, because being a native of Birmingham, as a rookie, the Buffalo Bills came to play at Legion Field, and it was the home of where, you know, Alabama and Bear Bryant played in the game. And to that point, Alabama had yet to integrate their football teams.
Right.
Yet he was a guy who had won the Heisman Trophy as the nation's top college football player coming to play here. And you wanted to be there and see that. And my dad did take me to go see that. So, I mean, that's another reason why I have the attachment to him, because of what he meant when he came to the town at that time.
And you and I, he was at his peak when we were in those informative years.
Yeah.
And I, like you, could separate the athlete from the person who did these crimes. But you know that there were millions of people who could not. And bringing it to modern day, there are people who, while they may still feel that the Huxtables and Cliff, he's still number one TV dad, they may not say it out loud now, because what he's going through right now is still fresh in people's minds.
And that television show is vanished.
Yeah, it's gone. I mean,
television, and that television show was still everywhere up before this became.
Yeah, and it's been pulled. They ain't gonna,
Huxtable
kids will get no more residual checks, at least for a while.
No more Nickelodeon, all different places where it was being seen.
And rightfully so.
You know,
but again, we're going down this road because of the anniversary of the slow Bronco chase. Our guest that we were supposed to have obviously is not ready. We're hoping that we get a call here in a little bit.
We do. We're hoping for that. There's something special that we hope to have for you today. But you know, still remembering, you talked about the TV dad and that being that role, and just, you know, that's something that people would think about today.
All right, take him out of the mix.
All right,
who's at the top of your pyramid right now? TV dads.
TV dads.
If it ain't Cliff.
Wow, it's hard to do. Well, you know, there's some other ones.
I know there are. There's a bunch.
Yeah,
I'm saying for you, the one that when you see, because it's an obvious one to me.
One's for you. Oh, it was Fred Sanford.
No.
I was saying close. Fred Sanford.
I was going to say George Jefferson.
George Jefferson.
I was going to say George.
I was going to say, you know what? I was going to go old school and westerns and Ben Cartwright.
Wow.
Yeah. Bonanza, man.
Them dudes were all out there on that Ponderosa. They ain't had no girls around.
Yeah, they would come right every night. Little Joe would always find the girl.
And then she died at the end of the episode. He didn't have no girlfriends, man.
No.
And then they kicked Adam off. But I got to go with – I was thinking about this yesterday. We were going to be talking about this, and I was like, you know what? I got to go with George. And the funny thing about that is, as much as he was bolsterous and bloviating all the time and walking around like he was 8 feet tall, if she wanted to and got mad enough, you knew that Weezy could take him out. Then she could take him out.
Yeah.
James Evans Jr.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
We got him?
We got him.
Oh,
my goodness. Wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, we got a treat for you, folks. Hey, we're going to get him on the air and talk to him. And we're so glad he's joining us. This man has so many titles. Gold medalist 50 years ago, heavyweight champion, boxing analyst, actor, author, and minister. He is on his way to church this morning, Reverend George Foreman. Good morning to you.
Morning. And
happy Father's Day.
Hey, happy Father's Day to you and all the bunch.
George, I got to ask you, we do a thing here from time to time. We make little lists, and you were part of a list that we had last week. And it was athletes who had a great second life. And, of course, they're talking about the grill. But then I thought I sold you short because not only were you, as Sam just said, you were a gold medalist, but then you made it to the mountaintop as heavyweight champion. And then, of course, we know about your business career. Of those three, what are you most proud of?
I can be honest with you. None of those would have come about without that Olympic gold medal. I'm most happy about that. When I think about my life now, I see myself standing on that platform, listening to the national anthem in the background, and that was the beginning of dreams right there.
Wow, 50 years ago at Mexico City. George, to talk about today, Father's Day, and you know by that you've also authored a book, Fatherhood by George. When you think of Father's Day, what does this mean, and what will you pass along to people today?
Boy, I'm so happy because guess what? I have at least 14 grandkids.
Whoa.
You've been busy. So,
and I do not allow them to call me Grandpa. I was training for the heavyweight title and had grandkids. I said, don't you call me Grandpa. Call me Big George. So the idea is that you got to take care of yourself. I've always sought out good health so I can play and roll on the floor and have fun with grandkids. So the best thing that I've learned about being a father is that always keep yourself in the best of health.
Talk about why that role is so important to you. And of course, you grew up in a single-parent situation. Talk about why that role is so important. And what do you tell the young dads today?
Yeah, you got to be a symbol. Sometimes I found out you just can't reach out doing things for yourself. Everything we do has to be planned that everybody benefits. Most importantly, stay with your family. You know, you may not feel like, but I'm missing out on something. There's nothing like missing out on your family. So I always tell young people, stick together. It's worth sticking it out. Don't break up.
I so many questions I want to ask you, and I really do. And we should do two segments with you. I want to ask you about something that have to do with a movie called Only in America. the HBO movie that they did about Don King, but you were prominently displayed in that movie. And I wanted to know, A, have you seen it? And B, was the story of how your connection with Don King was accurately portrayed in putting together the fight with you and Ali?
I saw the movie, and I had a lot of fun, but there wasn't any accuracy to it. And that's the way Hollywood is supposed to be. If you look at things the way they really are, nobody will sit there for, 45 minutes and watch it on television. You got to add a lot of excitement to it or something. But I saw it, and I almost laughed. I did laugh. I haven't stopped laughing about it.
Listen, Ving did a great job in it. We've talked about that, and he got an Ace Award and gave it to Jack Lemmon. But just talking about that fight, and I've heard you in previous interviews, but we got an audience here that I don't know that may not have heard this, but your description of how Ali used the rope-a-dope, which we had never seen, boxing fans had never seen that before, and what you went through when he was going through that, as far as when you started and you punched yourself out and afterwards, when you just lost all your strength and he was still standing.
Yeah, I ask people all the time, I say, you heard of the rope-a-dope? They say, yeah. Well, I'm the dope. I'll go down. I'm the most famous dope in the world. He laid on the rope and I kept hitting on him and like a dope until I got tired. He just moved out of the way and let me fall, actually.
Spending time this morning on WaitForIt.com Outland. Please be spending time with George Foreman, World Heavyweight Champion, so many things. Champ, we appreciate you spending some time with us. You're on your way to church this morning. Are you going to talk to folks about Father's Day and about being fathers today?
Oh, that's what I got to talk about, Father's Day.
Is there a message that you like to send out to our audience as far as being a father or just fatherhood in itself?
Yeah, the most important thing is everybody remember that no one would be here without a mother, but it's good to salute the fathers. So many fathers have done so much and get overlooked, but we are proud to be fathers, and I want to set that in church. The children's parents should be proud of their dads. May not live up to what you want us to be, but we're the best we can be.
Fantastic, fantastic. We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning on your way to church.
Yes,
and once
sir.
Again, happy Father's Day to you from all of us here in Atlanta.
And please come back with us.
God bless and thank you.
Thank you, all George. Right. Appreciate it.
Champ is here.
Yeah, he was. I rushed through that, man, because I had a couple more questions I would love to ask him.
Oh, man, yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and here's the music he heard standing on the podium. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Sam and Greg on this Father's Day. I just got some new information from our producer, Bo.
Yeah.
This is his Uncle Phil
is
his favorite TV dad.
Probably, Uncle Phil and maybe Homer Simpson, but best TV dads.
Yeah.
Kind of grew up with both of them.
Yeah. Uncle Phil had a nice house, man.
He did.
That's a real nice house he had.
Truth be told, I went to high school with Homer Simpson.
Really?
Dan Castellaneta.
Oh.
Went to Oak Park High.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Ah.
And I just remember in the lunchroom or down in the study halls, he was doing that doop back then.
Oh, really?
Which he said he got from his father, who made that noise all the time. Okay. So it was something they did in the family.
Yeah.
But he has made millions and millions of dollars from it.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
Hey,
nice living.
Listen, man, I got to thank you. I got to thank Bo for working it out. But getting George Foreman here, we thought we were going to have him for the whole segment.
Yeah.
And we were going to be able to ask him probably more questions. And when he finally did call, and we can't thank him enough, I was scrambling. Because you only got him for a few minutes. And how many things do you want to ask George Foreman?
Oh, man, there's so many things.
You see what I'm saying?
I like that we started with, the thing that meant most was the gold medal. And this is 50 years. And the thing that had happened, everybody knows what a turbulent time the country
was
in.
That's what I was going to ask
in 1968 and the things of assassinations, people in the streets, are in the Vietnam going on. They get to Mexico and Smith and Carlos put the black gloves on. And then he wins the heavyweight division and wins a gold medal and gets this tiny American flag and walks around the ring,
bowing. Doing that bow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was so symbolic. That time, and it was what we needed to see. And so when I interviewed him when he was in town with the book a few years back, and that's how we got connected, I told him, I said, you earned a fan for life that night. you know, and said that to him in the interview. And it was a really good interview, heartfelt. But he says that moment doing that, you know, is the thing that catapulted his career. And, you know, when we talk about boxing today, right, that was the thing. The guys that won the gold medals.
You follow them.
Followed them on.
Or middleweight like in Sugar Ray and Hagler and Hearns.
Right. But those guys, when they won that gold medal, we followed them. We followed the progressions of their careers.
Evander.
And right, right. All those guys from his time, Meldrick Taylor, Sweet P. Whitaker, you know, Mark Breland, all those guys that were on that team in 84, we just followed them right on up in their progression, and that's what we did with him. And, you know, he got up and was this mean, kind of nasty guy when he got to be.
People don't realize that. He was Mike Tyson before Tyson.
Yeah.
Knocking people out in two rounds and just ornery about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can Google a Sanford and Son episode with George Foreman was on there.
He was
going to take on Fred Sanford.
He did that, and he did $6 Million Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did one with Lee Majors. He did an episode of that show. And then he went away. And, you know, he came back, and like he's on his way to church now. He's a minister of his church out in Houston, Texas. He got back in the ring to raise money for a youth center for the church, right, for the kids. And he said, I'm going to just provide something for the place. I'm not going to preach at the kids, but I'm just going to give them a place to get off the streets and do something. And that just turned into a whole nother thing, you know. And
you know how we talk about the second acts?
Yeah.
And we mentioned. And then I brought up to two people who I feel are in a category by themselves. They reached the mountaintop of their profession in three different professions, I should say. John Madden and Schwarzenegger. But then I think about it, I went, wait a minute. Do I need to put George on there? George got a gold medal.
Yeah.
Then he became heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became the number one pitch. I don't know. What category would you call him at? With it, that grill is at the top.
Yeah.
Of the food chain. But man, that movie, if you've not seen it, Living in America, and I don't see it that much anymore.
No, I used to.
But
see
it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And if you don't know anything about Don King, you need to see this movie because Ving Rhames, again, he got an award for it,
yeah,
which he turned around and gave to Jack Lemmon, which is crazy. But before they gave Emmy Awards out to shows on cable, you got ACE Awards.
Yeah, right, right. They did win the ACE Award.
And he won the ACE Award Best Actor for this movie. Now, HBO put a movie out about a guy who hated HBO. In fact, in the movie, he made fun of HBO. Yeah, Ving Rhames, that character, made fun of HBO. But it is the greatest depiction of Don King and what he – I mean, people forget. You know, you associate him with Ali and all the fights he had with Frazier, but the dude was in jail.
Oh, yeah.
Literally in jail, yes, when Ali had the first fight with Frazier and then came out and promoted the next two. He was out and became that level of a promoter.
Yeah.
But the story and how they tell how the – was it Zaire, right? When he fought Zaire, Ali.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How he's meeting him in the bathroom. If I give George $50,000, he'll fight. Just, you know, as a, he did. And that whole thing. And you just have to see it. It's called Living in America. If it's out there, I'm just telling you, it's a great watch.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I saw – where did I see Don King recently? There was a fight that went on, and he was there in the background. He wasn't out front, but he was at a fight that I saw recently on TV. Yeah, you know, he's not out front as much these days.
He got his money.
Yeah, he does.
Him and Bob Arum, they got their money.
Yeah,
go retire.
That's my favorite Don King quote. Somebody asked him, you know, Don, how much money are you worth? I'm not sure how much I'm worth. And any man that can tell you how much money he's worth, he ain't got much.
Really? That's a Don King quote?
anybody can tell you exactly how much money he's got, doesn't have much.
Hmm.
Anyway, you can tell people right down to the last quarter. All he knows is he can get what he needs.
All right, on this Father's Day, I want to finish up with this, and I'm going to let you go. You told a story about your father before. This is the best story I have with my father, and I'll never forget it. And I actually feel proud that I pulled this off.
Okay.
Oh, I don't have time. Yeah. All right, I'll tell it in a minute. And when we come back for casting call,
okay,
I'll just send you the casting call, but I got to tell this story because I think he's listening, and I told him.
Oh, cool.
Online.
Hey.
He's down in Florida doing it. So.
Very good.
Anyway, going to let you know about the jobs and the film and TV projects being shot all around the city and wrap things up before we turn things over to Mr. McMichael and I believe Mr. Tribble this morning.
Yes.
Rob's in here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, let me send you guys to the website, 929thegame.com/castingcall. You're going to see like the entire list. A couple I didn't mention today, the Clint Eastwood movie, Mule. Tammy Smith is doing that, looking for stenographers with their own stenography equipment. Also looking for Latino men and women to play gang members. Stranger Things, they have got a need for classic cars. Also looking for dancers. So you're going to see this entire list. And remember, parents, if you want to get your kids into some of these productions, you need to get yourself registered, get them registered with the Georgia Department of Labor. That link is number one on the list. And all you got to do is fill out the paperwork. In a couple days, you're going to get that certificate number, which you have to get any minor on set. Now, Sam,
yep.
you told a great story on this Father's Day about your dad earlier. I got one. And again, it may come off as me, but my father loves telling me this story, and he gets kind of misty when he tells it because he felt so bad for me. During the years I worked on the cruise ship, had my mother, my parents had been split up at that point, so I had my mother on with her friend, and my father came on with his second wife. And the deal was this: we left out of Miami, but they were flying down to Fort Lauderdale. They were going to spend some time there and then drive my car down to Miami. So I went up and handled everything. And I got my car, put it in a parking lot, the keys and all that. We worked that out. He got the car. And then the day he was coming, I was going to meet him at the pier, which I did. Mm-hmm. Now, as a crew member, you don't know what cabin you're going to put your family member in yet. You wait till you sail. You just know that the ship's not full.
Right.
So there's going to be plenty of cabins for them. So I'm going to put their luggage in my cabin until we take off. I get them. I meet them. Everything's working out fine. I get them into the pier where he's got to sign up and get all that stuff done. That's going flawlessly. He gets on the ship. Now, as the ship is taxiing out, I'm playing music as the DJ. He comes to me. He's all worked up in a ladder. He loves it. And he says, "Did you get all the luggage out of the car?" And I went, "Yeah, I got the four bags out of the back seat." And now we're moving. We're taxiing out.
Yeah.
And I go, "Yeah, I got the four suitcases. I put them down in the cabin." He goes, "Did you get my luggage out of the trunk?"
Ooh.
He looked at me. And I had this look like I was 4 years old again. Long story short, I got, because of some maneuvering I did, I got that luggage out of the trunk, and it was waiting for him the next day in Nassau. And it has to do with I had my boss pull it out, put it in the pier, and the entertainment was bound.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.